Now, on Tuesday, there was a public hearing for Assembly Bill 304, which would overhaul regulations on Wisconsin's alcohol industry, changing some laws that go back 90 years. Among other things, the bill would clarify current laws, add new permits, open up options for wineries and craft breweries to sell their products directly, and establish a dedicated alcohol enforcement agency within the Department of Revenue. We're going to hear from one of the stakeholders now, the state's Tavern League. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. What, if anything, do you think ought to change about the way we produce, distribute, and or sell alcohol in Wisconsin? Have you been watching this bill? What concerns do you have about it? And if you are in business anywhere along that supply chain, love to hear from you what changes you'd like to see, what your concerns might be about how this could impact your business. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. Scott Stengers, Director of Government Affairs for the Tavern League of Wisconsin. Scott, welcome to Central Time.
Yeah, thanks, Rob. Good to be here.
Before we dig into the bill, it's pretty obvious in the name, but can you talk about who you represent there at the Tavern League, one of the many players in this bill?
Yeah, I represent small mom-and-pop operators throughout the state of Wisconsin that involved with their business on a day-to-day basis and proud to work in their communities. They give back to their communities and, you know, have been an established player in the alcohol industry for years.
I think it's fair to say that everybody, or many people, at least the alcohol business, have thought for a while now that something needed to change in our alcohol laws. What can you talk about the need for some kind of update?
Well, I can say this. It isn't too often that we have agreement with all tiers and all players in the industry. But this bill has brought everybody together. We needed to modernize and to update and to put a robust regulatory agency in place so that we can execute what jobs we have to do on whatever tier we are and have certainty that the laws are going to be enforced. And so it's been a long time coming. This bill has taken really the better part of 10 years, and I think it's going to be positive for all the tiers, but more importantly, positive for the public, because we will have some certainty and more a direction with regard to regulating alcohol in the state.
Now, you mentioned the tiers there, T-I-E-R-S. I think a lot of even alcohol consumers in Wisconsin may not know what's going on behind the scenes. Can you talk about our three-tier system in Wisconsin and how it currently works?
Sure. Every state has this. We have, since the repeal of Prohibition, three tiers. You have to pick the tier you want to be in. So we have manufacturers, wholesalers, and retailers. So the product is manufactured, it's distributed by the wholesalers, and then distributed to the public at the retail level. So those are what are referred to as the three-tier system.
And one of the big changes is we've got these craft breweries, micro distilleries, wineries who would like to manufacture their stuff and sell it at least locally in real retail outlets, or might want to distribute it to a tavern or a store without necessarily having that relationship with a distributor. Does this change in laws affect that?
Yeah, it's going to make a variety of changes. The law was pretty frigid with regard to, in fact, it just didn't envision much of a craft industry when much of this law was put together. So we're going to make changes that I believe will benefit the ability of wineries, distilleries, and craft brewers to have their product more available throughout the state, including at taverns and at their retail store. So it will make significant changes in that regard, but we're seeing an evolution of this sector, which, again, every state has experienced something similar to this.
Talking to Scott Stenger with the Tavern League of Wisconsin, looking at a proposed state law in the works that would change the way alcohol is regulated in Wisconsin. You could join in at 800-642-1234 if you have questions about what's going on, or if your business involves a brewing or distilling or fermenting alcoholic beverages or distributing said products or serving them up to the public. Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Scott, for the taverns you work with, what does this change for them? What stands out to you the most?
Well, you know, I think the biggest thing is certainty that the laws that we understand are going to be enforced. And to have a viable, credible industry, you have to have belief and certainty that the laws are going to be applied evenly across the board in Superior and Kenosha. And, you know, we haven't seen that over the last 5 to 10 years. So I think to us, that's the biggest thing. We look to the state as a resource, as do municipalities. This is complicated. There's a lot of behind the scenes work that goes on with the state lawyers on a lot of these laws. And we want to make certain that we know what the interpretation of the law is, as well as municipal officials. I can't tell you how many times I've gotten calls from municipal officials looking for guidance. And we want to be able to have that guidance really come from the Department of Revenue in this new division of alcohol regulation.
Just heard in the news from the other side of the glass here, a statewide bartender license. What would that look like? How would that change things for, again, your tavern owner members?
Yeah, that's going to make things a lot easier, especially now when we've seen the job market has gotten so tight. It really doesn't make sense to have 1,700 municipalities issuing these licenses. Now, this doesn't take away the ability of them to issue it. They can still do it. But for the tavern owner, having an employee who can use that license in Superior and Eau Claire makes it better for them, and it's more effective for our employment in an area where we have a lot of members who don't have enough staff. So it will provide uniformity, doesn't take away the ability of locals to do it, but I think it'll just be a modernization of saying, hey, these people have completed the course, they're qualified, and they can bartend anywhere in the state.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Ron is with us in Manitowoc. Ron, hi.
Thanks, Rob. I'm wondering what your guest and his association is doing to pass on the cost of the use of the addictive drug alcohol from the taxpayers onto his association members and the brewers and distillers.
In the form, Ron, of some kind of tax, you're saying?
Absolutely. We have the second lowest beer tax in the country, $2 a barrel, and some states have over $13 a barrel.
Ron, thanks for the call. Scott, he broke up a little bit there, but Ron's saying, hey, increase the beer tax and maybe other alcohol taxes to account for the health impacts, the health costs related to alcohol.
Well, that's not part of this bill, and I mean, that debate is a fair debate, and it's one that the legislature has had over the years, but it's not part of this package.
Ron, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Related to safety and alcohol, the Safe Ride program, partly funded by the Tavern League, and a change in the law related to that. What's going on there?
Well, this is a great story. It's a program that's been replicated around the country. And what's in this bill is more funding, and the funding comes from convictions of OWI, so there's no state money. It comes from someone who receives or it gets an OWI and that conviction part of their fine. The program has been very successful, and we've seen a reduction in OWI convictions, which is a good thing. But over the years, that has meant less funding because that's one of our major funding sources. So this bill increases that $25. We think we will have the ability to fund Safe Rides, continue to fund them, and expand them throughout the state. So we've seen a real change, a positive change. People are planning ahead. They're using Uber, they're using Lyft, and they're using our Safe Ride program. So this has been a tremendously successful program, and having more funding in it complements what we're doing out there today.
Scott Stenger is with us, Director of Government Affairs for the Tavern League of Wisconsin. We're talking about a new bill that would transform how we regulate the production, distribution, and sale of alcohol here in Wisconsin. It is in the state legislature on a fast track of sorts right now. Want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions about how all this works, how laws might change? Do you have opinions, changes you would like to see? If you own a business that deals with alcohol, a brewery, distillery, winery, if you own a tavern, work at a tavern, How about a wedding barn? This affects those outfits as well. Join in with your thoughts, your concerns at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation, maybe hear from you coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our talk now with Scott Stenger, Director of Government Affairs for the Tavern League of Wisconsin. He's here to offer his organization's perspective on a new bill that would change how the alcohol industry is regulated in Wisconsin. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have as maybe an alcohol consumer yourself? Or if you are in the business, have you ever held an event at a barn venue? How is alcohol handled in that situation? What significant changes have you seen in the alcohol industry over the last decade? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Let's go back to your calls now. Chris is with us in rural Blanchardville. Chris, hi.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
What did you want to bring up, Chris?
Well, I'm really concerned that the one group that seems to have been left out of the conversation, and I do applaud this compromise. I do think we need to update the regulation, but wedding barns and rural communities don't seem to have been a part of the conversation. In towns like mine, a town of 800, it's really important for us to have unique niche agricultural operations like wedding barns. And this bill put a lot more regulation, would put a lot more regulation on them.
And Chris, are you involved with tourism or wedding bars in your community?
Well, I run a bed and breakfast on my sheep farm. So I don't really necessarily rely on wedding barns, but I have so many friends who are farmers who are trying to make it by adding a wedding barn or some other ag tourism operation to their farm. And this is a huge blow to that community. The proposal in here limits the amount of time, the amount of weddings you can have. It makes it harder to do weddings, and that you have to have an actual alcohol license.
Chris, thanks a lot for the call. And Scott, I think if there's one sector related to alcohol that feels like they're left out of this, as Chris says, it is this wedding barn industry. A lot of gray areas up to this point. What's your thought on that part of this agreement?
Well, they're not left out at all. The bill takes great steps to make sure that they can get a license. It allows 16 months to get a license. But, I mean, let's be honest here. This is alcohol. It's the Wild West at wedding barns. They have no regulations. We're not talking about a handful of wedding barns out there. There's hundreds of them. The public demands that people are licensed. They know what they're doing. And when you're selling alcohol and have alcohol, it's a serious proposition. And I heard the testimony yesterday from some wedding barn owners, and they say, oh, we do this, everything that we're doing. So what is the problem? You're telling us you're doing all the things that licensure requires. The public expects that you should have some minimum standards at your business. These are businesses, and it is the Wild West. They have no closing hours. They can have smoking. They have no licensed bartenders, nobody checking IDs. They need to be regulated, and this bill goes over the top to make sure none of them would go out of business, and it creates for small venues that have said, we only do a handful of events a year, it creates a special non-sale permit so that they can do 6 events a year, not more than 1 a month. And that was something we heard from the wedding barn industry. So you can't be a business making hundreds of thousands of dollars and then say we don't want to be licensed. The Tavern League would support no licensure for everybody. I mean, that's a ridiculous proposal. You're in business. You have laws to follow. The public demands that you follow the same laws that the rest of us do. And you can get a license and compete with the rest of the folks in the industry. If you choose not to have alcohol, this bill doesn't affect you.
Chris, thanks a lot for that call. Marty joins us next in West Allis. Marty, hi.
Hi, good afternoon. So I'm an elected official in my community and sat on our
on our license board for bartending licenses and have a 40-plus year history in the restaurant business. And I'm wondering if the state is issuing bartenders licenses, would there be any minimum standards? Say, would a license be issued to an individual with multiple drunk driving? And if an individual were doing their job incorrectly, how would the revocation process work for a licensed bartender?
Great questions, Marty. Scott, your thoughts on how that might work?
Yeah, that's all already spelled out in state statute, the requirements to obtain a bartender license. So you have to meet all those requirements. And if you don't, as Marty said, you won't get it. A habitual law offender would not be eligible to be licensed, whether it's at the local level or the state level. So we don't change any of the licensing requirements in this bill. We just allow to have a portable operator's permit, bartender's license, that the state can issue. And from a lot of municipalities that we've heard from, and I'm not saying it's everybody, but issuing a license takes time and there's a cost. So this would alleviate some of that burden that municipalities currently have to go through with the issuance of these operators' permits.
Thanks for that call, Marty. Scott, something I don't know. Can a local government, could Marty's board in West Dallas say, yeah, we're going to have more stringent regulations on our bartender licenses than the state does now or under the new bill?
No, the requirements are that you're a U.S. citizen, 18, you have to complete the responsible beverage server course and not be a habitual law offender. So if you check all those boxes, then the license shall be issued. So there's really not a lot of discretion. The standards are there to weed out bad actors, and that will continue. And it just makes it easier for municipalities, and it makes it easier for employers, and it helps with employees. You become more employable when you have a portable bartender's license that you can use all over the county or all over the state.
Thanks again for that call, Marty, at 800-642-1234. Talking to Scott Stenger, lobbyist with the Tavern League of Wisconsin, looking at a slate of changes likely in the works, at least a big bill in the state legislature, when it comes to how the alcohol industry is regulated here in Wisconsin. Let's go back to your calls. Bob is with us in Milwaukee. Bob, hi.
Hey, quick question. So my dad, when I was a little kid, he was friends with an alcohol distributor, that sort of middle tier that your guest was talking about. And I guess it's been my understanding, and maybe I'm way off on this, but it's my understanding. I hear a lot of language about competitiveness and this and that. But at the end of the day, if you're a distributor for a brand of alcohol in a region, that's yours and nobody can touch you. And there may be, you know, it may be that there's more than one perhaps, but generally speaking, it's the most strangely regulated kind of, it's a business, but it's a monopoly at the same time. And by the way, as far as that Wild West comment about the barns, I mean, my goodness gracious, we want to regulate the heck out of alcohol, but none out of guns? What the heck?
Bob, thanks for the call. We don't need to go into guns, Scott, but does the three-tier system in effect, as Bob says, give a monopoly to a distributor in a region if they're the only one who could distribute, you know, whatever, Rob brand beer?
Yeah, no, it's a good point. It gives statutory protection in territories for wholesalers, and it's not unique to Wisconsin. Most every state in the country has it. Doesn't mean that a retailer can't get a product outside of that territory. It's unusual, but Bob's right. It does essentially have a monopoly. Now, with that, those wholesalers have to agree to service. They service the small as well as the large accounts, and they have to make sure they service everybody and everybody is treated uniformly. So the trade-off is we have good service, we have uniform treatment, and we're getting product into the small rural taverns in Wisconsin. So it's an area that's raised some concern, but overall, over the last 40, 50 years, it's worked fairly well.
Bob, thanks a lot for that call. Scott, a lot of this obviously is hugely important to people who are in the business of alcohol. For consumers, if this law passes as currently written, are people going to see a lot of difference at the liquor store, the grocery store, the tavern, you name it?
You know, I don't think they're going to see a lot initially, but I think there will be a better sense, especially the sharing of information from the state level. And the secretary now, Secretary Barca and his staff have done a very good job of getting information out to the retailers, to the wholesalers and manufacturers, as well as municipalities. So I don't think they're going to see a real big change, but it will help to make sure we have a positive, strong environment for the regulation of alcohol beverages.
Just our last minute, something we've touched on a couple times, this new agency in the Department of Revenue. What are your hopes for what that might do when it comes to statewide regulation and enforcement of these laws?
Well, that's a great point, and that's what this whole bill is about. Everyone in the industry looks to a referee, and we want that referee to give us consistent, solid advice. And we're going to follow the law. Our members are going to follow the law. But we need to know what it is, and we need to be able to work with them. Communication is the most important and effective tool here. Not just communication that our folks have with the department, but also us being able to communicate with municipalities and with the general public. So I think the way this bill, and again, it took a long time to put together, but I think the results of it are going to produce effective, smart regulation in this state.
Scott, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Yep, thanks a lot, Rob.
That's Scott Stenger, Director of Government Affairs for the Tavern League of Wisconsin. He joined us for a discussion about a new bill that would change the way alcohol is regulated here in Wisconsin. Still time for you to share your thoughts. You can email ideas@WPR.org. If there's a part of this bill you're concerned about, would like to see more reporting or hear more conversation about, if this influences your business as you see it, for better or for worse, love to hear from you. You can email ideas@WPR.org. That's ideas@WPR.org.